We have a quorum, so I will welcome you all to the October 26, 2017 meeting of the Air Board's Mobile Source Committee. Mr. Hudson, you're in a talkative mood, so I'm going to have you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Jeez, no roll call?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Last time I...
Thank you. May we have roll call, please?
On the roll for the Mobile Source Committee meeting of October 26, 2017, Director Canepa?
Here.
Director Groom, Director Hudson?
Here.
Director Ju, Director Kaplan?
Here.
Director Kim?
Here.
Director Miley, Committee Vice Chair Haggerty, Committee Chair Mitchell?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Next item is public comment period for anyone who wishes to comment on any item not on the agenda. Do we have any cards, Marcy? Thank
no.
you very much. Mr. Hudson, I know you are in a mood to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Hudson, seconded by Kaplan. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. Motion carries. Thank you. Ms. Skolnick, you're up.
Good morning, Chair Michoff and members of the Mobile Source Committee. This morning, we're going to be first starting off with a recommendation for projects requesting over $100,000. Dollars in grant funding. This really represents the first round of awards for the fiscal year, which our grant program started in August. Carl Moyer just opened in October, so for that reason, you're not going to see any Carl Moyer projects until the next meeting. But this morning, I'm pleased to present Ken Mack, our acting supervising staff specialist, who will be walking us through this presentation.
And thank you for putting the staff's name on the presentation.
All right. Thank you, Karen. Good morning, Chair Michoff and members of the Mobile Source Committee. So today, I'll be presenting a recommendation to approve five projects with grant awards of over $100,000. So a quick overview of the presentation. I'll provide some background on TFCA, the funding program, go over the projects in more detail, and finally end with recommendations. So the projects before you today are funded through the Transportation Fund for Clean Air, or TFCA, which gets its revenue from a $4 surcharge on DMV registrations. 60% of the fund is directly awarded by the Air District, and that is what this item is on today. And the remaining 40% is forwarded to the nine counties' congestion management agencies as part of the County Program Manager Fund. And you'll hear more about that portion of the fund in the next presentation as agenda item number five. So for 2018, the Board of Directors approved allocations of $29 million of TFCA funds in April and adopted policies and evaluation criteria in August. The first solicitation we issued as part of the 2018 cycle was for existing shuttles and ride-sharing services, and we also have an ongoing solicitation for EV charging stations, otherwise known as the Charge Program. And later on in the year, we'll be opening solicitations for our other grant programs. So for your consideration today are five projects that applied for over $100,000 from September 8th to October 3rd. We have three shuttle service projects with a total of 20 routes and two trip reduction ride-sharing projects. In total, we are recommending just over $2.9 million for these five projects, and they are expected to reduce criteria pollution by 25 tons and greenhouse gas emissions by 14,000 tons per year. So this table shows the five projects that are requesting over $100,000 in more detail, and you also have a copy of this table in Attachment 1 of the staff report. The three shuttle projects are providing service in Alameda, Santa Clara, and San Mateo counties, and the rideshare projects provide regional benefits. So far in the 2018 cycle, we have a total of eight TFCA projects that were awarded or proposed for award between September 8th and October 3rd, including the five in this presentation. And you can see a full list of those projects in Attachment 2 of the staff report. These charts show how the funding is distributed among the counties and by project type. And keep in mind that we'll have additional solicitations opening up later in the year. So this is just the first slug of money going out, and the charts will be updated in the coming months as we award out the 2018 funds. So in conclusion, staff is recommending the Board of Directors, number one, approve the Transportation Fund for Clean Air Projects with proposed grant awards over $100,000 as shown in the attachment one. And number two, authorize the Executive Officer, APCO, to enter into all necessary agreements with applicants for the recommended projects. This concludes my presentation, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Mack? Rebecca?
So thank you. You did say this does not exhaust the funding for the year. There will be another opportunity?
Yes. So these projects only represent about $3 million in the $29 million allocation for 2018.
Okay, great. So doing this doesn't in any way preclude anything else that may be coming. And we had talked about having a pilot trip reduction program in care communities.
Yeah, that program is scheduled to launch early this year, next year. So right now, staff is working on basically doing outreach to gather input on the program, find out about interest, learn about different project options so that we can develop a solicitation for this program because it is new. So again, we have the funding reserved for that program, and it's scheduled to open early next year.
Okay, so I'm happy to follow up out of the meeting on that program since that's not yet incorporated in this, in which case I would move these items.
I second it, but I don't want to wait till after. What was this again? The care what thing?
So we, for this year, we have proposed to begin a new program called the Pilot Trip Reduction Program. We have provided two different awards in our minds that are the kinds of projects that we might fund in the future. So Bay Area Bike Share was funded before we conceived of this kind of a program back in 2010. We worked through that program. It was very successful. We also, as you know, recently funded Shared Autonomous Vehicle Project in Bishop's Ranch. So the idea is that we want to develop a fund that would provide funding to pilot projects that are replicable and that could be financially self-sustainable once it's shown how it would work. And so for that reason, because we have very limited funding for that, because overall the TFCA funds are trying to meet a variety of different objectives and needs.
It's too late to cut it back.
Well,
the mind is reeling right now.
Absolutely. We have $2 million for that program, and we'll be using some leftover monies that were left over from the shuttle allocation. So we believe that at this point we have $3 million. If we have any other fallout, we can add that to it. But again, it's something that we know there's a lot of interest in. And so because it's a new program, we don't really have ready application solicitation for this. So that's why it takes a little longer to develop.
Car on Demand is a new program too. And
absolutely.
In an episodic zone, we really have to watch for those people that need your help.
Absolutely. And that's exactly the kind of project that we're looking to fund, something that helps to provide alternatives, especially to fixed route service that's no longer cost effective or that agencies can maintain. We want to help them to try to pilot some other strategies to help provide high levels of service at lower costs.
And to follow up on that, I understand you're trying to develop, I'll call it program criteria, but are you in communication with the care communities to hear what they want?
Sure, absolutely. We are doing targeted outreach as well as general outreach. We are working with all of the county congestion management agencies. We actually had a meeting specifically with them last week, and I think 8 of the 9 attended. We've also had workshops with the general public. We're also going to be targeting technology providers to find out what services they can provide as well. So we're really trying to boil the ocean here and get everyone involved.
That's a new term. I've
yeah.
never heard that.
Is that my mom uses
we
that all the time?
Want to do that.
I thought it was a common expression. Maybe it's a
not in climate change
okay.
times.
It's in this way. It's a positive
okay.
concept. Okay. I'll let my mom
the
know.
The waters. Royal. Okay. Anyone else? All right. Any public speakers on this? No. Moved by Kaplan, seconded by Hudson. All in favor, please say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We will move on to item number 5, which is Transportation Fund for Clean Air. And Ms. Wei, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Hui.
Hui. Oh, just like it's spelled. Yes. There we go. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. So I'd like to introduce Linda Hui, who is a staff specialist in the Strategic Incentives Division. She is going to be leading us through a presentation to discuss the development of policies that will guide the fiscal year ending 19 County Program Manager Program Fund. This is also part of the Transportation Fund for Clean Air program, but it's the one that is run through the congestion management agencies. So this is something that we do every year. We bring these policies back to the Mobile Source Committee and to the board for their review. And Linda Hui will be leading us through this presentation.
Okay. Thanks, Karen. Good morning, Chair Mitchoff and members of the Mobile Source Committee. During this presentation, I will provide a background on the Transportation Fund for Clean Air, or TFCA program, summarize the process for developing the proposed County Program Manager Fund policies for fiscal year ending 2019, present a policy waiver request from the San Francisco County Transportation Authority, and conclude with staff's recommendation. As mentioned in the previous presentation, the TFCA program is funded by a $4 motor vehicle registration fee. You just heard about the 60% TFCA portion. This presentation focuses on the 40% TFCA portion that are pass-through funds to the 9 Bay Area Congestion Management Agency or county program managers. Each year, the Air District distributes about $9 million in funding to the county program managers. The Air District's Board of Directors adopts policies for the County Program Manager Fund, which are used by the county program managers to award projects within their respective counties. Today, I will be presenting the proposed fiscal year ending 2019 policies for your consideration. For fiscal year ending 2019, there were no major policy changes. There were minor updates for clarity. Attachment A of the staff report contains the proposed policies. Attachment B shows the minor updates between the proposed policies and the current year's policies. This year, we had a public input process that started on August 4th and ended on September 18th. We had one workshop and then staff follow-up by phone with those who had additional questions and comments. By the deadline, we received 4 comments. These comments, along with Air District responses, can be found in the attachment C of the staff report. And finally, staff is bringing a policy waiver request by the San Francisco County Transportation Authority, or SFCTA, for your consideration. Policy number 3 allows county program managers to seek board approval on a case-by-case basis for projects that do not meet board-adopted policies. SFCTA is proposing to replace 10 diesel and gasoline medium heavy-duty vehicles with hybrid light-duty vehicles in San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency's paratransit fleet. The policy currently allow replacement of vehicles only within the same weight class. For example, medium heavy duty with medium heavy duty. The waiver that is being requested will allow credit to be given when scrapping vehicles of different weight classes, and therefore would allow SF MTA to qualify for funding to replace their medium heavy duty vehicles with cleaner light duty vehicles. Staff determined that this project conforms to the Health and Safety Code and board adopted TFCA cost effectiveness. In conclusion, staff requests that the committee recommend the Board of Directors 1, approve the proposed fiscal year ending 2019 TFCA County Program Manager Fund policies, and 2, approve a policy waiver to allow SFCTA to include emission reduction credit for replacing medium-heavy-duty vehicles in the cost-effectiveness evaluation of a fiscal year ending 2018 TFCA County Program Manager Fund light-duty vehicle project. And that concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Haggerty?
So, two questions, I guess. I'll go with the easy one first. This would not be the appropriate area, Karen, to follow up on the discussion we had yesterday at MTC about personal or private charging stations.
Not this place, but
right,
it could fit
really
into the next discussion.
To government.
Yeah, this is right. Really the CMAs, and I don't believe that that's a. We've
well,
not heard
I,
from
I
them.
Was going to ask if the CM. What I was going to ask is would it be possible for the program managers to, in their own programs, be able to establish a program like that?
This doesn't preclude them from doing that.
So they could.
They could.
They could. It. They could use the existing policies under EV infrastructure to do that if they chose to.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then at the risk of upsetting my colleague from San Francisco, what is actually the justification for doing this?
I think we have some folks here from San Francisco. Is that right, correct, Linda?
Yes, we have Mike Pickford.
Okay. Well, I think it's a good deal for us in any way, because if you're looking at the actual vehicles themselves, they're looking at changing out light-duty trucks with
okay, I understand that.
Yeah.
I heard the staff's presentation. I understood that there's a reduction. But we set policies.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, a lot of these policies usually come from staff.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they cause us consternation.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they create problems for us at home. But sometimes we go along with you. Most of the time we do. So we set these policies, and now staff's coming to us and say, oh, wait a minute here. We don't really want to do the policy anymore. We want you guys to allow to do this.
Yeah,
so I'm trying to figure out when is it okay, and can I now, if I have a pet project that I want to bring forward, come in and say, hey, blow off the policy and do this.
Well,
and before you answer that,
okay.
I want to follow up on that. The issue of is it time to change that policy or have more flexibility in the policy?
Yeah. So the reason why I think we are recommending that you do this is because this is actually a good deal for air quality. You're taking heavier vehicles, taking them off the road and replacing them with light-duty vehicles.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I just want you to know I didn't lose that.
I understand that. This is a policy change that we are actually going to implement because I think it's a good deal for air quality and it's a good deal for our cities and counties. So if they, through their own needs assessment, they have older vehicles and they realize that they can do the work using a lighter vehicle that's fully electric, there should be no reason why our policy should preclude that. The reason why you haven't seen it in the policy so far is it's not something that's very usual, right? Cities and counties generally understand how their fleets work. And, you know, when a pickup truck goes out of service, usually it's replaced by another pickup truck. This is, I would say, a very unusual situation, something we haven't encountered before, but definitely a change we would recommend for the board moving forward to our general policies to allow this for every city, county to do this.
If we approve this, I know it's a waiver, but when would you anticipate coming back with either an additional policy and an and or?
Yeah.
So I think what we would do, given that we don't have any other requests of this type this year, what we can do is work with the CMAs to come up with some language and vet it through our legal team to include for next year's policy. So literally in 12 months from now, we would bring back amended policies that would include the ability to move from one class to another.
Okay, and I know I have questions down here, but...
I wanted to follow up then. Okay, so... Again, not trying to upset my colleague from San Francisco.
You don't have a colleague here from San Francisco.
Oh, I thought I did.
He's from Belmont.
You're okay.
Oh, good. Then I'm going to vote no. Then I'm going to vote no.
Okay.
But then why didn't you bring the policy change forward at the same time?
So it's a timing issue. So how it works is there's a lot of public process that goes into making these policies. The waiver request essentially came in after we had done all of the process to make this happen.
But if it's such a good idea,
yeah,
and it's such a minor policy change.
Sorry, go ahead.
Don't you think it maybe would have been a little cleaner and a little easier for... Who keeps turning me off? Don't you think it would be easier to bring forward or have a small, quick public notice and then bring it forward, have announced that we're going to make this policy change and then have this committee then do the hearing on the policy change, forward it to the board, and then do the policy change and do this at the same time as opposed to the waiver? If our intent is to do it anyways.
So the waiver request is from last year's policies, not the ones that we're currently asking you to vote on, one. And then two, because, and we can make this change, right? But on the other side, our county program managers need these policies in order for them to actually start moving their programs forward. And that's why, because of the timing issue, we wanted to bring this before you and have the vote on it today. If it's the committee's direction for us to go back and change this now, we can go through that process, but at least they'll have something with which they can open their programs with, which I think is important for them relative to their timing and getting their processes rolling.
Okay, it was not my intention to vote against this, but I don't know. I wish we could have figured it a different way.
I think...
I don't like waivers to policies because sometimes you put us in very uncomfortable positions on policies and then we waive them.
We hear that, and let us, moving forward, see if there's a cleaner way in which we can handle these things, especially ones like this. Generally, this is, as we've noted kind of in the discussion, this is generally not how we kind of approach these waivers. And in this particular case, it's pretty unusual. So let us take that back, and we'll work on the process for this moving forward. And maybe if there are waiver requests, we can handle them separate to policy discussions where we're setting, you know, programmatic stuff up, and we can bring that to the committee separately.
Mr. Kim, did you have your light on?
Yeah, this thing keeps turning off.
Me too.
Oh. So I think the when you replace a shuttle that can carry 10 people with a wheelchair lift that often has just one passenger and you can put them into a sedan, that's an upgrade. And so I think revisiting this policy that we can only fund replacements within the same class makes sense because smaller vehicles generally put out less pollution. As long as we're not replacing one fuel-efficient cutaway with 10 sedans. I mean, I know you're aware of that. I guess my question is, if the waiver is granted, what happens to that medium-duty vehicle? Is it retired or scrapped?
So these vehicles would be scrapped, would be the requirement. And to your earlier point, it is a one-for-one trade, not a one-for-10 trade. Yeah.
Ms. Kaplan?
Thank you very much. First, just a location-specific question, which is that in the previous round of this, Art Dow from Alameda County Transportation Commission had requested certain leeway for Alameda County in last cycle that was granted, and I didn't see in this report whether that is proposed to continue into the future year.
I don't believe we've had any waiver requests, so I think it was just specific for that 1 year from the program.
Okay, I think he was just texting me that, yes, they had requested. So I think that they thought that having previously
requested
it...
He should text me, maybe. That might be more helpful.
That it would continue. So I'd like to request that the waiver that was previously granted to ACTC be continued. They may not have been clear that they had requested again.
I think we'd like to bring... Just from a policy, just for, you know, cleanness, I think we'd need to see that request in writing and then bring it back to the committee separately, which we can do at the next meeting, which is December 7th. So they wouldn't have long to wait.
Why don't we do this if Art is having a problem? To back up my colleague from Alameda County, Maybe the motion could include that if there is a waiver that's being requested by Alameda County, that you investigate that, and when this is moved to the full board, that if there is an extension being requested, that you also include that at the full board action.
Yeah, I would move that we approve this item with the caveat that if Alameda County Transportation Commission staff confirm that they are requesting the same waiver that was granted last time, that will also be included in the approvals for the board.
I think that's, yeah, we can absolutely do that.
And
I just want to check with council, is that Brian?
Well, this is a committee recommendation. It's not the full action until it's the board, so you have time.
Committee recommendation to add Alameda County's waiver to, yes. That's okay.
I was following the conversation, and the Director Kaplan is correct. The decision doesn't get made here. This is just a recommendation. If the recommendation is that we apply the same principles to a different waiver request, I don't see a problem with that.
And I don't know if anybody else intended to ask for what we're granting to San Francisco here. If anybody did, I would be happy to include that. Maybe it's not an issue right now, but if somebody else was asking for the same thing San Francisco is asking for...
I'm hearing that it's not, but I'm going to let Mr. Hudson speak after you, and then I've got a comment.
Great.
Yeah,
thank you.
I'm along the same lines. And now all of a sudden we went from I'm a little... dubious about doing waivers because it seems to have the unintended consequence of being policy, except at this time we want it to be policy. It's a timing issue. And then we're talking about doing a second waiver, which I'm fine with the timing till we get it, because I kind of like where it's going. The thing that has me a little concerned is when we're saying that we need to get it to the CMAs. We're making decisions before it even gets. The CMAs have to get out to the transit authorities. They will tell you a lot of things that we're not talking about today. We looked at this exact same thing 3 years ago after the APTA conference, and everybody got jazzed about these little sedans until they realized what the maintenance problems were on it, and we walked away from it. Well, I can tell you at the APTA conference now, everything's completely different. The electricals have changed everything, and it may be time to do it. But the policy itself, let's make sure we've done our fiduciary responsibility to touch base with the CMAs, touch base with their transits, because they meet with them all the time. And we haven't just jumped ahead because it sounded great without – it's like not doing public hearing. So, I mean, I'm fine with the motion. I'll vote for the motion. On the same way, let's avoid – waivers, let's look at policy changes, but I think that's what we're doing, and I think that's what you said, Scott.
I have a question. Through the chair, Kate, what is the motion again? Can you state the motion?
Before we do that, because I have some questions, then it might, I don't think it'll change, but the motion right now is to adopt these recommendations with the inclusion of a potential Alameda County waiver exemption from last year that would be carried forward this year. But my question is...
So Madam Chair, let me understand that. So the Alameda County waiver from last year, which was exactly what?
Mr. Haggerty or Ms. Kaplan?
Yes, I'm asking them to...
I think the direction from the board was for us to look at that particular waiver and then come back with a recommendation to the full board of directors. So
he wants to know what that is.
Karen can give you... we have the staff report here.
Yeah, so the waiver last year... So the policies require that the funds for shuttle projects to fund commuter peak hour service. And the... waiver would allow Alameda County Transportation Commission to continue to support non-peak hour service, which is not funded by any other TFCA program. So that's perhaps what they're asking for. This actually, last year's waiver covered, so I don't know if we need this, because last year's waiver actually covered through fiscal year ending 2018.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was a two-year waiver.
The reason I think you see us reacting is, you know, we did go through a fairly extensive public process with our CMAs. You see that there are comments from Alameda CTC in the actual staff report in front of you. Yeah, so it's a little bit unusual. So let us go back and touch base with them, I think.
So just so everybody's clear, the intent of the motion for me anyways, yes. as the maker of the motion, is to have staff look at it to yes. see if, yep. in fact, this does need to be carried forward.
Correct.
If it doesn't, it's a moot point. If it does, then great, bring it forward and let the board vote on it. Yes. But if it is a two-year waiver, then fine. It doesn't need to be dealt with.
Yeah, that sounds
and,
good.
And obviously, the little texting that's going back and forth is a moot point.
And I think that's what we understood as well, that we, it's just to consider it, not to grant it.
Yeah,
that sounds reasonable. Quick question, Karen. You're very reasonable. Karen, let me ask you, how many waivers are there? Is it just Alameda County, or are there...
Yeah, this year... waivers are unusual, and mm-hmm. but each year we get about one, and this year we received one. And we do, as Damien said, as part of our solicitation process, there is a deadline by when the waivers need to be received. So that was the deadline. So we are communicating with the CMAs, letting them know what the waiver deadlines are, and then they let us know, and this year we received one. And we do, for what it's worth, in the policies, have policy number 3 says... exactly that if you have a project that could potentially be eligible for TFCA funding, but it doesn't totally conform with some aspect of the policies, that it allows CMAs to come forward for a waiver. So we did actually create that process to have some flexibility. That is something that the CMAs had asked for, and I think we had also gotten direction from the board for that. So we're just basically implementing that process.
Okay. I want to go back up. We're adopting fund policies today, and I guess I'm missing those. Can you give me some process? You said you went out, it took a year, you talked to CMAs. Has this come back to the subcommittee, what those policies are?
Right. So actually, what's happening in this item right now is approval of next year's policies. So,
I get that.
Right. And so last year, around this time, we brought those policies for the fiscal year ending 18 cycle. We went through the year, and as the CMAs went to award funds to projects, they realized, in this case, one project out of probably 100, that it didn't fully conform. So they come back here and ask for a waiver so that they can award those funds.
So what would have been helpful, unless I'm missing it, is to have a list of those policies in our staff report.
They are in your staff report, yeah, as attachment A.
I see.
And you can see the changes, which are very minor. You know, we renumbered and we changed the wording in a couple
of
paragraphs.
So going back to my earlier question, when you said it would be about a year, so when you take... These aren't just automatically renewed. You look at what has been requested in a time frame, and
Correct.
You update them.
Right.
And so now that this waiver has been requested on San Francisco,
Correct.
And Alameda had one last year, those are being vetted for next year's policies.
Correct.
And why does it take 12 months?
So we do this on a cycle because, The process for us when we do these policies is they go out and actually start now to go and look for projects, right? If we were to, take all of the policies and then make amendments every 3 or 4 months, the policy process actually requires a lot of public input.
Oh, okay.
But by doing it the way that we do it, we allow them more time essentially to figure out what happens when they actually bring this out and road test it with the public. And it's actually good for us to get that feedback so that we can have enough time to incorporate it, think about it, make those changes.
My question then is, why don't we have standing policies and then every year just update with as new technology becomes available?
Yes, so that is essentially what we do. So we start with last year's policies, and we work through the year to gather input from the CMAs. We don't just meet with them during that. We meet with them throughout the year. We also get input from, again, the technology providers and other stakeholders. And so sometimes the Air District proposes updates, and sometimes the CMAs propose updates. And then we work together to come up with something that works for everyone. And that is brought to this committee now.
I guess I'm thinking along terms of bylaws. You got a set of rules of what you're going to do, and then as you function through your processes, you make changes to individual things. But I get that we just change. It isn't that we change, but we adopt a whole new set of policies. I'm sorry, not a whole new set of policies, but the same policies with some additions, but you got to have a public hearing comment period on all of them. And why wouldn't you just do one time and then only have a hearing on new ones?
So the law that enabled this particular funding source was enacted in 1991. And since that time, the projects that we've done in this particular arena have changed year over year, because if you look at the express intent of that law, it really does force us to chase technology. And that's why the policies change over time, because we are trying to keep pace with, you know. So if we cast our mind back 4 or 5 years, we were doing traffic calming and these other types of projects.
No, I know, and they fall off.
And they fall off.
Okay, so, enough. That's it. I mean, I get it. You got to do it. It's just bureaucracy. Okay, we have a motion to approve these two recommendations, along with the idea that, although I'm hearing from staff, that it goes through the end of fiscal year 2018, so Alameda probably does not need to be included, but do you still want it included?
Yes.
All right, we're going to include it.
Yes, just the motion is just to check back with the Alameda County staff, and if something is needed, to stick that in the board.
All right, motion by Kaplan, seconded by Hudson.
I think it was by Haggerty.
No. She actually did move it.
She beat it. It's a tie.
Any further discussion? Any public comment? We do have somebody who wishes to speak. Did you fill out a card, sir?
I did.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Mike Pickford with the San Francisco County Transportation Authority, and I just wanted to provide a little context on our waiver. The SFMTA's paratransit fleet consists of about 140 wheelchair-accessible large vehicles. However, approximately 70% of their riders don't require a wheelchair lift. So this project to replace 10 of these 22-foot vehicles with the smaller hybrid sedans would still allow SFMTA to provide their customers with a comfortable ride, and while drastically reducing emissions, and would leave more than 100 vehicles that are available for people that need a wheelchair lift. And I wanted to add that this project was approved by the SFCTA board in July, and the policy waiver is necessary for the project to be financially feasible, so we appreciate your support of the waiver. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Let's move on to item 6.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Mitchell. So I will be leading us through this next presentation, although maybe I'll take it over there.
Yeah. What I'd like to say about this is actually a very exciting moment for us, because and you will hear more about this as we go to our next to our next couple of meetings. We are now, you know, reaping the rewards of some of the work that we've put in to go out and aggressively look for funding for this program. You have the opportunity to accept three new sources of funding for Air District Emissions Reductions Programs. And at your next meeting, we'll be coming back to you to talk about this, to talk about some changes in the California legislation, AB 134 in specific, and then to talk about how we plan to use that funding and the staffing that's going to be necessary to expend these funds. So I'm going to hand it over to Karen, who'll lead you through the discussion about the funding that's in front of you today. But know that this is a precursor to us talking to you about other sources of funding. We want to give you a bigger picture of the money that's available, and we'll be doing that a little bit earlier this year than normal.
You can stay where you want, unless you like to stand.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we're going to be demonstrating technology here today. All right. Yeah, hopefully. Okay. All right. Awesome. Okay, so again, good morning, Chairman Choff and members of the Mobile Source Committee. So during this presentation, I'll be providing some background on these three funding sources Damian just mentioned, and discuss each of how they work, and then conclude with staff's recommendation. So for background, the Air District currently, historically, has administered about $45 million of new revenue annually. That comes from the Transportation Fund for Clean Air, Carl Moyer Program, and the Mobile Source Incentive Fund. So those are kind of our perennial
grant programs. But as Damien mentioned, we work really hard to try to bring in additional revenues that come from the state, federal, any other sources that we can bring to bring additional dollars to the Bay Area. So today's presentation is to discuss three proposed awards that will help to augment our funding and complement our work here. So the first that I'll be discussing is funding that we've applied for from the Air Resources Board to administer the Enhanced Fleet Modernization Plus Up program. I'll be calling that the EFMP Plus Up. That program is designed to incentivize lower income residents to scrap high-emitting vehicles, but then what this does is it provides the plus-up portion, so the replacement portion. So I'll be discussing that. Also, MTC's commission yesterday unanimously approved an award of $10 million for the Air District for a partnership. So I'll be talking about that, and that is to help achieve our mutual goals of reducing greenhouse gases. By supporting electric vehicle and other light duty programs. And finally, the Bay Area Clean Air Foundation. The foundation applies for funding to support the Air District's mission. And we have been notified that we are have been awarded an additional $1.3 million to implement projects that will help to reduce emissions in and around the Port of Oakland. Okay, so beginning with the ARB's Enhanced Fleet Modernization Program. So as I mentioned, this is a voluntary program, and it builds on the Air District's Vehicle Buyback Program. So what happens, the goal of the program, again, is to help folks, once they scrap their vehicle, to help low-income residents to actually replace that vehicle with either another vehicle, a much cleaner vehicle, either an electric or a hybrid vehicle. The program also allows something that is kind of neat, which is instead of getting a new vehicle, the participant can choose to go into a transit subsidy, essentially. And we'll be working to expand traditional transit to also include car share and bike share, potentially. It'll take a little bit of work to get all of these options up and running. ARB has not actually awarded this funding yet, but we have submitted the application, and there are $10 million reserved for air districts, not including San Joaquin and South Coast, to take part of this $10 million. So we feel we've been working with them for months, so we think we're very close to being approved. And so what this would do was, depending on what other air districts want to participate or not, meaning Sacramento and San Diego most likely, this district could receive up to $10 million in the first year to administer this program. Again, it's limited in terms of who is eligible for this program. It only really targets folks that are living in areas that are designated in Cal Enviro Screen, but it's something that we would be working to potentially explore expanding that program, and we'll be bringing more information as we're formally approved for funding by ARB. But I do want to let you know that we'd be working to build this program and then launch in the spring. So the next program, this is a continuation of the partnership that MTC and the Air District have had for many decades. So building on our successful partnership recently with Bay Area Bike Share, which is now the Ford program, MTC has awarded $10 million to the Air District that basically will support their Bay Area, their Plan Bay Area goals, as well as the Air District's Clean Air Plan goals. And so for that reason, the funding really needs to go towards light-duty projects. And because of some limitations of the CMAQ funding, what we are proposing is that MTC's funding, the $10 million would go to support the Spare the Air program and eligible light-duty EV programs, which are kind of shown in the chart here on the right, on the blue, the items on the top. And I'll just talk about that briefly. The Air District uses admin funds from our grant sources really to do the work that we do for all of our programs. And so we've received a lot of input about interest in expanding our outreach on light duty to target multifamily dwelling, to target low-income communities, to target workplaces. And the funding that we have, again, really is primarily designed to administer the grants themselves, not to do this comprehensive, extensive outreach. And so what you see in the green is really kind of the kind of work that we traditionally do in the grants program. We do data analysis, we issue and manage grants, we apply for new funding, and again, we oversee the grants. What we don't do as well as we'd like to is, you know, broadly communicate the results, make sure that information is widely available to the public, and, you know, really do a great job of coordination and collaboration with other stakeholders in the region. So these funds from MTC, what they will do is for the EV program, it will provide $1 million for 5 years to do that kind of work that's shown in blue at the top. And then the other $5 million will be used to support the Spare the Air program, $1 million a year over the next 5 years, which is something that MTC has done historically for I believe, decades now. In return, the Air District will commit to invest an additional $10 million. Some of that is coming from the funds, the EFMP funds that are coming from ARB, as well as our TFCA charge program to continue to provide funding for expansion of EV infrastructure deployment, and then also the EFMP program. And I mentioned that there's interest in expanding that beyond just the CalEnviro screen. So this would allow us potentially to explore doing that. We have 5 years to do that. We have pretty much already started, but it's something that we feel is very achievable and will be a great way of really helping both agencies to achieve their shared goals. And also, I want to recognize that Kruti Singha is here in the audience from MTC in case there are any questions.
I know Mr. Haggerty said he had a question.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I try to pay attention to my members.
So I have a question. Oh, she can finish the presentation.
Oh, okay. I thought
that's
you wanted
you caught me off guard.
I'm almost done.
There's okay, let her finish.
There's just one more here. I'll save the best for last. So this is another program. It's a smaller amount of funding. It's about $1.3 million, but we believe it might be higher. What's happening here is this is actually the third award that will come from the foundation through the reformulated gas settlement. The reformulated gas settlement funds were created back in 2009 and were issued as part of a statewide solicitation beginning in 2010. There was $7 million as part of that competitive solicitation. And again, this is the third award to the Bay Area Air District. It's unusual. This would represent that the Air District would have received about 2.3 of that $7 million. So we really feel that that is a compliment and speaks well about the success that we've had here, that the reformulated gas settlement fund administrators have continued to provide funding to the foundation. What this project will do is help to provide relatively flexible funding that needs to be used in and around the Port of Oakland and the former Oakland Army base to reduce emissions by basically changing out diesel equipment to zero emission equipment. So it's the main issue is that the funds need to be expended quickly. That's really the interest of the RFG administrators, but that actually works well because that's our interest as well. And it does require a $1.3 million match, but we will be using funding from the Goods Movement and Carl Moyer and MSIF fund sources to help provide that match funding. So it doesn't require any additional allocations by this board. It just requires basically approval of accepting the funds. So pending approval, what we would propose is that we would go back, work with the foundation to finalize an agreement with the RFG administrators, and quickly expedite a solicitation so that we can get started again early next year with this program. And with that, that concludes the presentation. This is very long, so if you'll bear with me, I will read the recommendation, which is to authorize
that's
the Bay.
That's okay. We can
thank
read.
You.
I'd rather have discussion.
Thank you.
Mr. Haggerty.
Thank you. So I'm in the recommendation, it refers to, in the second bullet, it recommends, I want to make sure that's what it recommends. I think there's a match to the 1.3.
There is, but this board has already committed those funds. They haven't been awarded yet, but they've been allocated. So we would use the funds that have been allocated for those projects through the Goods Movement Program, Carl Moyer, and the MSIF program.
So it doesn't... 1.3, is it?
1.3 out of, like, $50 million or
yeah.
more.
I think where I'm getting hung up on, so let me just ask my question, because it may not even mean anything, but I'm getting hung up in my mind, is I don't have a problem with the port matching anything. What I do have a problem with is a surrounding West Oakland community. Don't look at me like that, Damon. It's what it says, Port of Oakland and the surrounding West Oakland community.
Right.
So
that's where the benefit would be.
I know, but are we asking the surrounding West Oakland community to help come up with the
map? Oh, no.
Okay,
no.
So that's the question I needed to ask to be clear.
No, the $1.3 million, to clarify, is that those are funds that would come to that area. If anything, we might ask...
Well, I understand that, but then somewhere else in the staff report somewhere, I saw that 1.3 needed a match.
Well,
my brain put it two and two together and thought that the community needed to be part of that match.
No. You have already previously directed us in February of this year to take Carol Moyer money and to take Goods Movement Bond Fund monies and to spend them in impacted communities. And those impacted communities include the West Oakland community, obviously with the third highest cancer health risk still in the Bay Area. That's a community of concern for us. So we don't feel like there's any need for the board to take additional action to specifically match this funding, because you've already taken that action and we generally spend quite a lot of money there. So we will match this $1.3 million with our funding that we currently have allocated quite handily, we believe. We already have, you know, $9 million in truck projects that are principally based out of there that could be used to match these funds. Okay. So that's why we're not asking you for additional allocation.
So then, Karen, you had mentioned earlier when I had brought up the EV charging stations, maybe I don't need to ask anymore, but because you're ready to answer. But as you know, we talked about it yesterday at MTC. It is becoming more and more in vogue to own electric. The electric car technology has really advanced. I mean, the Chevy Bolt I'm driving one today. The county has almost an entire fleet of Bolts. Mm-hmm. They're the fastest car I've ever driven. I mean, it's an awesome little vehicle. And people are now gravitating towards them. You see them all over the roads. But the problem is the Volt on a standard 110 charge takes a long time to charge. So now people are going to start finding out that if they need to upgrade their charges at home. I appreciate the fact that we're working towards a multifamily, because you have been substantially beat over the head by this board, this committee, to work with apartment owners to make sure that we can get multifamily, lower income charging stations, and you've heard us and you're doing it. But can we start to look at rolling out again, because I know we've done it in the past, but can we do another program to look at single-family charging station incentive program?
So the short answer is yes, absolutely, we can look at it. We, for background, we have, back when electric vehicles were first starting, when the Nissan Leaf launched,
right,
and the Chevy Bolt.
Right, not as popular.
Yeah,
as...
right. The issue is that today there's probably about 30,000 new vehicles that are on the road. And we did a quick back of the envelope calculation, which is that if we just even gave $500 to each of these vehicles, we would be well out of TFCA funds, the 100% of the funding that we have just with this program in the first, you know, half of the year. So it's something that we can look at how to structure it so that the folks that actually need the funds could maybe get use of those. One thing that I will offer is that the FMP Plus Up program, which does target the lowest income residents, that program, I showed you the ARB Plus Up funds, but folks that participate in that program could also be eligible for additional funding through the California Vehicle Rebate Project, which also can provide additional funding for charger installations for those folks. So I feel like we have a relatively somewhat solid, once we launch all of these programs, we'll have a relatively solid program for low-income residents who live in single-family homes. The question is, what more does the board want to fund beyond low-income in terms of moving TFCA funds for that. So I think that's something that what we can do is maybe in January when we bring a summary, we can have a little bit of discussion about priorities so that when we bring the funding plan in February, we've gotten some input there, but we've given you some information as well.
Where I appreciate the fact that you're looking at the low-income people, we may want to look at the moderate-income people too. Maybe the way we do this is we don't look at the income of the people, but we look at the price of the vehicle. I think if somebody's able to go out and buy I don't even know what a Tesla costs, to be honest with you, but I'm going to assume it's somewhere around $80,000 to $100,000. I'm guessing. Let's say $70,000 to $100,000. But if somebody's able to buy a $70,000 to $100,000 Tesla, they probably don't need our help buying a charger. But maybe somebody that's buying a $30,000 or $40,000, I don't even know how much a Bolt is.
We can absolutely
but
do that work.
Maybe we look
yeah.
at the price at the vehicle, and the Leaf. I don't want to keep using.
Turn it back on.
Somebody puts their light on.
No, it was Damien that time. I saw it.
I'll come down to you guys.
You know, if somebody is buying a Leaf or a Bolt, or I'm trying to think, I think Fusion.
Yeah.
I'm boring people in the back. They're yawning. but maybe we look at the price of the vehicle and follow that as opposed to these very expensive ones.
I think
might be a criteria we look at.
Yeah, I think that is a fair point. We have kind of internally gone back and forth on this particular issue. I think we need to come back and show you all of the subsidies that are available, give you an idea of, you know, the rate of adoption. So it's around 2,000 vehicles a month in this particular region. So even modest grant subsidies would probably tax our program. So we get the point, we'll do the work, and then we'll bring it back to you with some recommendations on options, if that's the direction.
That's fine. Mr. Kim?
I have a really important question for Karen. Did you ever get your Tesla?
I drive a used Tesla. It's awesome. And I highly recommend it for anybody who wants over 200 miles of range.
And I know from speaking with Supervisor Joya yesterday, who sits on CARB, they got to put in, and I thought that at this time of year they were going to get their cars, and he says it's still a year out. These are the $35,000 models.
A Bolt gets 220.
Oh, I know.
8 miles to a charge.
So I'm going to build off what Director Haggerty said. I mean, these things are mainstream. Many of us have these. And we know that you save money on fuel, no oil changes. So I'm thrilled that we're really making a push at getting electric vehicles in the hands of low-income folks. I work in Oakland. I know there's a great public network of charging stations. So I had a couple thoughts, and none of these are going to be new to you, but when the charge of vehicles has got the range has gone up from 50 miles to 125 with my Nissan Leaf, it has opened up all kinds of possibilities. I can commute to Oakland, but when I upgraded to a fast charge vehicle, I can go to a Whole Foods and get 70 miles on just a charge. So I think to the extent we can incentivize low-income folks to upgrade, not to the base model, but to the fast charge model, even if they don't have a charger in their apartment building, you can get a full tank in just half an hour. And so that's one observation. The other was, I don't need free electricity, but with my Nissan card, you know, I can get free electricity at a lot of stations around the area. And I would hope that when we educate our lower income communities, we can say, not only is electricity cheaper than gas, but here are the many ways you can actually get free charging. And I would hope that we would work with Nissan and these other manufacturers that are offering these free charge opportunities, and maybe not allowing people like me to get free charge, but allowing low-income folks to have priority for free charging opportunities. So my two cents.
Can I let Mr. Hudson talk? Mr. Hudson?
Two things. First of all, I don't see, Karen or Damien, I don't see hydrogen in here. Is that's not on the table now? We're just talking electrical?
Well, technically it's zero emission vehicles, right? But the price of a hydrogen vehicle, I think, would put it, and the number of stations probably would be outside of the price range that the grant could match. So imagining that even at the maximum of this, you can get 9,000, that car is probably around $55,000. With the ease of use, and that is something, you know, you're trying to educate, bring a community into electric vehicles, right? We're trying to start. So we wouldn't recommend this as, even though it's ineligible, it would be an eligible project, it probably isn't what we would point our lower income communities to initially.
Okay, I just would point it out because I saw it and I needed to ask the question that when I first saw this 2 years ago, the hydrogen at League of California Cities, the net cost suggested was 30,000. It was 50 with 20,000 in incentives and free refueling for 3 years with the Murray. And the real problem was you don't have the infrastructure, but when your city puts in a refueling station, you now have. So I know my residents are going to ask it. The second question where I would caution people is that the electric recharging is coming real fast. And now we're talking about, okay, the 480 is what you're really going to need. Well, that doesn't really mean that you have the infrastructure existing in your city for this. And I'll give you an example that Scott can relate to real quick. When we remodeled the high school in San Ramon and it was supposed to be more efficient, PG&E changed the source of the electricity because things were going on in other places. And here is a modern high school within the last 6, 7, 8 years, whatever it was, serviced by overhead power line now because they took it from a different source. And that is going to get some community consternation when you start doing it. I would really keep communication lines open to PG&E as well as the CCAs, because I'm hearing things that some of this stuff just isn't as well developed as it's going to need to be for what we're talking about in the future.
Mr. Haggerty.
So another thought came to mind, because one of the reasons that I really like the idea of the home chargers is because I like the thought of the totally independent house of off the grid, you know, the solar house, the house that, you know, they're charging, they're not on the grid, all their energy is coming from the sun. But maybe we could give points to somebody who is off the grid that, you know, if you want to charge your charger, do you have solar? So you get extra points,
yeah, thanks.
Towards getting a grant from the Air District if your home has solar already. That way you're not just draining from PG&E, you're actually just using the sun to charge your car.
I think that's a good point. You know, we do for our current program for multi-family and business place, if there is solar charging or if there is, that we do award extra funds. So I think that is a good point. Another idea that I think we can bring back when we talk about, you know, the residential stuff, we can look into what additional subsidies may be available from PG&E and from PACE programs. Both provide additional funds that can be amortized over time to do charging and efficiency in homes. So one of the things that we like to do here at the Air District is to be financial matchmaker in a lot of these programs. When we come back and talk to you about the vehicles and what our program might look like, we'll try and put all of that in a frame so you can see what it would look like for somebody who actually wanted to attempt to buy one of these vehicles.
Mr. Kim.
My one comment, I invested in solar for my house because I wanted to, in fact, get off the grid. So I think it's a great idea. The practical reality is, though, when my solar system is generating power, I'm never home, right? And so if we want to do that idea, I think we have to look at batteries, right? Giving me the chance to generate power, store it in my battery so that overnight I can charge it. I know you guys know that, but that's something that would help.
You don't want a hydrogen electrolyzer in your garage, no?
What's a garage?
Joking.
What's a garage?
All right. My question is, in the recommendations in the PowerPoint, it says 1.3 million and any additional remaining reformulated gas settlement. Here it's up to 2 million. Do we have to match up to 2 million if we take, or just the match is just the 1.3?
We'll have to come back and talk to you about that. The funding comes to the foundation. So what's happening is, as Karen mentioned earlier, we've been very successful in doing projects for this particular source of funding. And they now want to wind it up because it's been almost a decade, you know, trying to get these projects out there. So what they've said is any funding that falls out, we're not going to do any more open solicitations. We're going to give it to your foundation. And at that point, we'd come back to you with additional recommendations if we get more money.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
So move.
All right. We're going to give it to Mr. Haggerty and Mr. Canepa because... Any further discussion? Do we have any public comment? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say no. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. And with that, I think we are adjourned to... Did you say December 6th? 7th.
December 7th.
Pearl Harbor Day. Have a lovely rest of the day. Okay, so what happened with the... Did they come up...